have any idea how I feel right now. Every time that I preach the Bible anywhere in Spanish, I get very nervous. But when I preach in English, it's like, oh, you know. But thank God and thank you, Pastor Meyer, for the opportunity to speak tonight here in Pacific Baptist Church. And you know, I have preached many times from this place right here, but in Spanish, not in English. You know, and it's always a blessing to be able to preach the Bible, you know, to preach the Word of God. And for those that don't know me, my name is Luis Hernandez, and I go to the Spanish department. And my first language is Spanish, you know. I speak English the same way that you speak French. So probably that's why, you know, probably that's why you don't see me much here in the English service. But it's always a blessing to be here, you know. And, you know, I'm saying this because probably I'm going to say something that is not going to make sense to you. You know, but you just laugh and say yes, you know. You know, but it's always a blessing, you know, to preach, you know, to my güeros right here. So thank you again, you know, for the opportunity. So before I keep going, I'm going to ask you to please close your eyes. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray in Spanish. If you can pray in English, please. Señor, gracias por la oportunidad que tú me das de estar acá en mi iglesia, Señor Jehová. Jehová, yo vengo ante tu presencia pidiéndote que por favor me use, Señor. Soy el vaso más sucio e inútil que puede haber. Señor, mi Dios, no me considero una gran persona. No estoy aquí para impresionar a nadie, Señor Jehová. Yo te pido que quites de mí toda confianza que yo pueda tener en mí, Señor Jehová. Yo te suplico, Jehová Dios poderoso, por favor, que derrames tu Espíritu Santo en mí, que tomes control de estas personas, tomes control mío, Jehová, y que seas tú y no el hombre. Te lo pido en Cristo Jesús, amén y amén. All right, so before I keep going, I'm going to give you a quick update of my trip to Guatemala. Like Pastor said, you know, we supposed to leave in May 8th. That was like 2 months ago, but the airport is closed. So, you know, it's funny because, you know, before I didn't want to go, but the night that I want to go, they don't want to leave me go. They don't want to let me go, you know. So I don't know how is that, you know. Not even immigration want me anymore, so I don't know what to do, you know. But, you know, the airport is closed over there, and they changed my flight 3 times already. And the next date is, I think September 5 or 6, something like that. You know, and the Guatemalan government, they said that they want to open the airport on August 15. You know, but talking to some of the American missionaries over there in Guatemala, they said that just pray that really happens, you know, that, you know, they open the airport. And just pray for the government over there, pray for the president over there, pray for the people in power. You say, why? Because more than people getting sick, the whole country is in panic, you know. It's, you know, it's only a few numbers, but everybody's so scared over there. They think if they go out, you know, everybody's going to die. It's not like that, you know. I mean, I'm talking about my country, Guatemala. I don't know. I know about here, but I'm not going to say anything about here, you know. And, you know, and the reason is because the Guatemalan president comes almost every day on TV over there saying how bad the coronavirus is and blah, 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 you know. And you know, he keeps closing the country and he doesn't want to open the borders. He doesn't want to open churches. He doesn't want to open public transportation, airports, etc. The funny thing is that he opens some cantinas, you know, the bars, you know, but he doesn't want to open, you know, everything. Everything is the same, you know, wicked people in power, you know. It's very sad what is going on in everywhere about this corona thing. And, you know, just pray for them, you know, because from the top people, which is the president, all the way to the bottom, you know, the farmers, they all is scared. You know, they're scared about the coronavirus. It's just unbelievable what's going on over there in Guatemala. You know, 17 million people in Guatemala, only 15,000 active cases of coronavirus, and 800 people have died in 4 months, you know. And this is very sad because more than the you know, coronavirus is just fear and panic what the people has over there in Guatemala, you know, probably here too, you know. But, you know, a life must continue. We can, you know, Guatemala cannot be closed forever. The life must continue. I mean, we need to work. You know, we need to go places. You know, but we need to, I don't know, just pray for Guatemala, you know. So I also want to ask you to preach for to pray for my family and pray for myself. You know, in the beginning of April, I was, you know, very worried and even stressing about this corona thing, asking God, you know, to let me understand why this thing happened right before I leave to Guatemala. Why this happened right before, you know? And God gave me two answers. The first answer is that stop watching and listening to all the Facebook posts that people do, and Fox News and all of that people that, you know, they have a different opinion, that a conspiracy that is going on and this, you know, they confuse you, you know? And that's was the first answer that God gave me, you know? So I cut everything, you know? I took Fox 11 from my phone, and, you know, I took everything down from Facebook, and, you know, I'm happy now, you know? And and also the second answer that he gave me is, you know, through a pastor that supports me every month. He says this, he said, this corona got me and got you as a surprise. But do you think that it came as a surprise to God? And the answer is no. Right. You know, no. And then he said, we were not expecting this corona thing. We didn't know it was coming. But do you think that God knew that corona was coming? And the answer is yes. He knew it was coming. So he said to me, so that means he is the one that didn't let you go earlier, and he will let you go whenever he thinks it's safe for you and your family to go back to your country. Just keep sending updates. So that's a blessing, you know. You know, if I send updates, you know, they're going to keep giving me support, you know, and it's so hard to get support, especially for a guy like me. It's so hard to get support, you know. You have to go like to 1,000 churches, and two or three, they're going to promise you something, and from those three, only one is going to support you, you know. So, it's, you know, but it's a blessing. So please pray for us, you know, for provision. We're going to see if we can call. We are calling some pastors to see if they give us some other chances to go and talk about Guatemala, what we're going to do over there. Pray for support and pray for us. We, like I said last time, we are planning to rent a house over there for $200 to $250 a month. But we had the opportunity to build a house, and to build a house over there is cost only like $7,000, $10,000. So we are praying for that, and you know, that God you know, provide for everything. And I also asking you to pray for my papers, my green card. You know, I'm being honest with you. I don't think I'm going to come back here, but like in 10 years maybe, you know, but because the immigration thing, but God can work something right there, you know. So just please pray for us. So let me go start the message right now. Somebody asked me, how did you see Christians and Christianity these 21 years that you were here in the United States? How did you see Christians and Christianity these 21 years that you were here and in the United States? And this is what God gave me to talk about today, about this. I asked several times to God if this is the message for tonight. You know, when you preach the Bible, it's a big responsibility because you are talking to people, you know, that they're about to make some choices, you know. And, it's God's people. It's no human's people. It's no it's not anybody's people. You belong to God, you know. And the preachers, any preacher is just a messenger that receive a message from God to you or to us. So this is what God gave me today. And I'm going to ask Joseph if he can please come over here and read the Bible for me. Luke chapter 8, verses 9 to 17. One of the hardest things for me is to read in English. But thank God for Brother Joseph. Amen.
All right, Luke chapter 8, and why don't we, once you found it, why don't we stand together to give honor to the word of God. So Luke chapter number 8, we will not do responsive reading, but we will follow along together. So Luke chapter number 8, verses 9 through 17. The Bible says in Luke 8:9, and the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Brother Luis asked me to mention that this message is entitled, Where Will You Be 10 Years From Today? You may be seated.
All right. Thank you very much. And let me get my notes here. I came to Pacific Baptist Church in the year 2003. And by the end of 2003, Pastor Joe Esposito started saying that he wanted to start a Bible college. And then I thought to myself, you know, I wish I can go to college, you know, and learn more about the Bible, you know, but my English is not that great. You know, that was back in 2003. And then a few days later, Pastor Campa said to me, you know what, you should go to Bible college. And I said, how am I going to go to college if I don't understand that white people right there? I don't know what I'm going to do there. But then he said, no, you know, you're going to make it. You can do it. I said, no, I can't. And, you know, and like the next service, he came to me and he said, I already talked to Pastor Job about you. And I said, about what? You know, about going to college. I said, what do you mean? I'm not going to college. Yes, you are. So he didn't give me an option, you know. So I went to college. You know, I came in 2004 to college with a little English that I had. And, you know, 2004 that was the first year of Bible college. How many remember that in 2004? You know, in September 2004, that was a great time for me right there. And, you know, my favorite class was English class. And you say, why? Because I didn't know any English. So I wanted to learn. I wanted to know the grammar, the verbs, the sentence, the do, does, don't, do, yes, no, blah, 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 you know. So it was excited for me. But more than that, you know, I like English class because, you know, the teacher, he used to, you know, he had like 50 minutes of teaching, but from those 50, he would talk and laugh for 40 minutes and then 10 minutes of class. That was Brother Pineda. I don't know if he's here right here. Okay. And it was a great class right there, English class. And I learned a lot, even though, you know, only 10 minutes in class, but it was a great class. I learned a lot from him. You know, it was funny sometimes also being in college here with my little English, especially when Brother Pineda, he wanted more members in the choir. So he said, if you are in college, you need to be in choir. I said, man, this guy is crazy. How am I going to be in college? I don't know how to read English very well. So you know what? He was going to give me the merit, so I had to come to choir, you know, the English choir. So I came to choir, and you know, I would come over here and stand over here with an open book and just open my mouth, like singing. You know, I didn't know it was nothing, you know. It was just pretending, you know, but it was excited for me. But more excited than that was that I had the opportunity to learn about the Bible and practice the ministry here in the church. Amen. You know, and why I'm saying this is because I have so many friends that they work with me in a Bible Institute or in the college, and they left to another country to serve the Lord, but they don't have any experience in the ministry. And of course, experience doesn't mean much in the ministry. You know, it's how you walk with God. But, you know, many of them, they just went with the experience of being in junior church or serving in the children's ministry. But when you have the opportunity to learn about the Bible and be a bus captain or preach to an adult Sunday school class or preach the Bible when the pastor is not here, I'm talking about the Spanish, you know, it's a blessing, you know, it's a blessing. And you learn and you grow a lot. And that happened to me. I mean, Bible college for me was a great time for me. Really, I mean, wow, you know, I wish I can go back to 2004, you know, and do it again one more time, you know. Amen. And, by the way, let me tell you something right here. Bible college is not going to make anything different from you. What I'm saying this is because sometimes I hear people, oh, I'm going to go to this college over there, and I'm going to be a different person. That's a lie. You know, because the one that is going to be a different person is yourself. The college is not going to make you different.
Yeah. All right.
It's not going to make you different. I was talking to someone in last summer, and he said, I'm going to go to this college because I want to learn more about the Bible. If you're not learning right here, what is going to make you learn over there? You know? And I'm just saying, you know, I was talking to some girl, you know, that I know her since she was little. And she was, you know, with her lies, with her loud voice and laugh. Say, hey, Luis! She said over there in summer, I said, what? And she said, I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? Yeah, I'm going to another college because I want to learn the Bible. I said, but you are here in college. Yeah, but I'm going to go over there. And I told her, no, you're not going to learn the Bible. You're going to go over there because you want to find your white boy.
Come on.
You know? And then you know what? And then she said, what do you mean? That's not true. Yes, it is true. That's why you're going over there. And you know what? 3 months later, she was back here with a white boy. I mean, sometimes we go to Bible college for the wrong purpose, for the wrong reasons.
Right.
You know, Bible college, you are the one that is going to make a difference in yourself, not what Bible college you go to.
Right.
You know, I just want to say that, you know.
Amen.
So in 2005... we were over here in a combined chapel. You remember that Brother Johnny used to do those combined chapels with college and high school. So we were over here in this auditorium in a combined chapel. And Brother Johnny was preaching to us. And I don't remember the title of the message, of the points of his message. But he said something that stayed in my mind all of these years. He told us this, where are you going to be 10 years from now? That was back in 2005 that he said, where are you going to be 10 years from now? And I remember sitting here in this auditorium, probably 70 to 80 students between high school and college were here. And I remember that between those 70 to 80 people that were here in the service, you know, we had different people serving in different ministries. We had ushers, we had parking attendants, we had bus captains, great bus captains. We had sitting over here in that chapel service. You know, they were with their shiny shoes, with their nice tie, their nice suit, good-looking guys with their hair comb. And we had those bus captains that used to bring 60, 70 kids every Sunday to the church. Some of them would bring 80 kids in a bus every Sunday to the church. We had great girls working as a secretary, working in the Sunday school class, working in the babies ministry, doing everything in the ministry, working hard for the Lord. That was in 2005. But let me tell you something. Now, 15 years later, many of those great bus captains, many of them, great Christians and great bus workers or secretaries are no longer in church.
Come on. Amen.
Come on.
It's unbelievable. They're no longer in church. And I'm not talking only about people that like were here in church, but I am also talking about great families from any church here in America or in any country, because this is happening everywhere. The people is going away from the Lord. People that one day they were great Christians and now they are no longer serving God. 15 years later, many of them are out of the church living a life that doesn't please God. 15 years later, many of them are in a liberal church with no convictions. 15 years later, many are divorced. 15 years later, many have children with no father. 15 years later, some of them became homosexuals, gays, and lesbians. 15 years later, some became drunkards. 15 years later, some are using drugs. 15 years later, some only go to church on Sunday if they feel like they want to go or if they have time to go. 15 years later, some are getting married for the second or even the third time. 15 years later, many are still in church, but they don't care about the ministry. They only care about making money, getting that house, getting that car, and getting that diploma.
Come on.
What happened?
Amen, brother.
What happened to them? What happened if one day they were here faithful, doing ministry, doing this and that for the Lord? What happened if one day they were on fire for God, but now they're no longer in church?
Mom.
Brother Luis, they asked me, how did you see Christianity these 21 years that you were in the U.S.? The answer is, there are two kinds of Christians in church, in the churches today. The ones that are in church for a short period of time, and the ones that are not perfect, but they are here because they know that life is better with God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ here in Luke chapter 8, he is telling us why many people do not make it in church or do not make it in their Christian life. Number one, when they don't pay attention to the word of God. If you can please verses 9 to 12. I'm going to read it as the best I can, because I'm not going to call Joseph to come here all the time. So Luke chapter 8, please. And we're going to read verses 9 to 12. The Bible says, give me a second, let me find it. 9 to 12. It says, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then come the devil and take away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So why people don't make it in church or in their Christian life? Because they don't pay attention to the word of God. See, here in verse 11, we read that the seed is the word of God. The example that Jesus Christ is using here is the farming life, the farmer life. You know, my oldest brother, he used to wake me up every morning since I was 5 years old. And I remember that sometimes he put me to plant some trees of coffee or some trees of, what is it called, elotes. I don't remember what's the name in English. You know, the elote, elotes, corn. Elotes, corns, you know. So, yeah. So you used to go, like, you know, with a big stick like this, you know, and you would go straight. And you will open a hole right there, boom, and as you open, you will get something from your back right here and throw the seeds down, and some of the seeds, they will make it deep inside the hole. And then you just go like this and you close it, and those seeds right there that they were deep in the hole, they will grow very big, very strong, and they will give fruit.
Amen.
But some of them, they will fall, you know, not inside, but outside the hole. And, you know, it's surprising, but they would grow too. But they would grow only for like 4, 5, 6 months. Because like about this tall, they will die. Because they didn't have any roots all the way inside.
Amen.
And look, this is exactly what Jesus was trying to picture in your mind here. In chapter 8 and verse 4. It says like this, and when much people were gathered together, they were come to him out of every city. He spake by a parable. So many people would come looking for him, but not everybody would understand his teachings. So not everybody would really listen to him. They would come for different reasons, and that's exactly how Christianity is today. We have so many churches everywhere in every corner, churches with 15,000, churches with 10,000. Luis, can I get my water, please? My agua. Harry. What is it? Necesito agua. Está abierta. So we have many churches everywhere, in every corner, in every block. You know, one day we went to LA Baptist Church over there at night. In every block, they have like two or three churches, Pentecostal churches, small churches with 10, 20 people. But that's how the country is, or maybe everywhere. You find churches everywhere. You find churches with 15,000 people, 20,000 people every Sunday, 5,000 people every Sunday, 3,000 people every Sunday, 1,000 people every Sunday, 500, 150 people every Sunday. But guess what? Not everybody come to listen to the Bible. Verse 12 says that the devil come and take away the word out of their heart. But how? With distractions, distracting you. In other words, we have thousands saying today that they are Christians. Even the Catholic today is a Christian. You ask a Catholic, oh, I'm a Christian. You ask someone that killed someone in jail, I'm a Christian. Everybody says he's a Christian today. But not everybody is a Christian. Because they don't know nothing about God. They don't know nothing about the Bible. And they haven't changed their life. They go to church. Their body is in church, but their mind is somewhere else. They are listening here, but the word is coming out of here. They are sitting in church, but they are not paying attention to what the preacher is preaching. They are here, but they are thinking about work tomorrow. They are here, but they are thinking about the new iPhone they want to buy. They are here, but they are thinking about becoming a police officer. They are here, but they are thinking about becoming a doctor. They are here in church, but they are thinking about the boy they like. They are here, but they are thinking about the girl they like. They are here, but they are thinking about their business. They are here, but they are thinking about the birthday party. They are here, but they are thinking if they're going to close again the beach, Sears, Ross, and Marshalls.
Come on, amen.
Let me ask you something. How are you going to change your life like that? People go to church and their body is here. They are here, but they are thinking where they're going to eat after service. They are here, but they are thinking how to make more money. They are here, but they are thinking how, you know, these coronavirus numbers are going right now. They are here, but they are thinking how much the IRS are going to send them next year. They are here, but they are thinking what's for lunch tomorrow. They are here, but they are thinking about that 2021 Toyota or Honda they want to buy next year. They are here, but they are texting. They are here, but they are checking how many likes. My water, please.
Come on.
They are here, but they are checking how many. Sorry. I lost my inspiration there. So people come to church. Their body is right here, but their mind is not here. Some people are texting while the preacher is preaching. Some people are checking how many likes their Instagram has in their last post. Some people, you know, they are here, but they are checking their emails. They are here, but they are checking if the Lakers are winning or losing the game. Or the Dodgers, whatever you watch. You know, it's amazing. You know, you go to churches, you know, and you get to preach. You are we here. You can see everything that people is doing in the church. And some people are with their phone, like right there when they're playing the Dodgers or whatever, and they go, yes, yes. You know, are you playing, paying attention to the Bible, or you are doing something else? But that's why people don't grow. That's people, they don't make it in church. They don't make it in their Christian life because they don't pay attention to what God is telling them through the preaching. And my friend, let me ask you a question. Do you think that way you're going to grow? Do you think that 10 years from now you're going to be here in church, or you're just going to be another number out of the church? You know, by the grace of God in many churches, you know, like I said, we can see everything from up here. We see so many kids with cell phones getting distracted, playing video games and not paying attention to the parents, like, you know, and the parents like nothing's going on. You know, the little kids right there screaming, and playing and kicking and everything, and the parents like nothing's going on, you know. You know, they don't pay attention to the word of God. That's why they leave church. You know, I see so many parents, you know, with children that they cannot control them. So what they do to keep them happy is give them the latest Galaxy, the latest iPhone, the latest Nintendo. Oh, but man, they don't require them to read at least one chapter of the Bible a day. And they don't read because they have everything, but papi and mommy didn't buy them a Bible.
Come on. Yep.
I don't know if that's the case in the English churches, but that's happening in the Spanish churches today. It's unbelievable everything that is going on right now. I have seen 10, 13, 15-year-old boys and girls playing video games while the preacher is preaching. I have seen 4, 5, and 7-year-old little kids watching YouTube, Disney Plus, Netflix, Elmo, Ninja Turtles, I Love Lucy, Scooby-Doo, and Cinderella while the preacher is preaching. And do you think that your kid is going to make it in a Christian life like that?
Come on, amen.
No. No. Stay quiet, but hear the phone. Put whatever you want in YouTube. That's not good. That's not good. That's why they don't make it in church. Because you are giving them this, the technology, but you don't make them to pay attention to the word of God.
Amen.
That's very sad. I have seen adults that they don't bring the Bible anymore to church. You know why? Because I have the app in my iPhone 10.
Yeah, help us.
You know, you have 3 apps right here of the Bible, but you don't read any of them.
Come on.
And you want to change the Bible? I don't know, like I said, if this is going on right here, but it's very sad what is going on right now in Christianity. You know, people want to change this book by an application of the Bible.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
You know, you have an application of the Bible, it's like you are saying that you are reading NIV.
Yep.
Or the cheap Gomez Reina Valera, that's trash. Like, the Gomez Reina Valera, so you can say, you know who? You know, that's trash.
Amen.
Gomez Reina Valera, what a joke. You know, a guy that doesn't speak my language, Spanish, he wants to come and correct my Bible. I mean, that doesn't make sense. You know, I don't know why I'm saying this, but yeah, that's what's going on right now. You know, do you really think that your 10-year-old is going to make it in Christianity? The question for you is, do you know where you're going to be 10 years from now? 10 years from now is going to be 2000. 2030. You know, if you are 20 years old right now, you're going to be 30 years. You are 30, you're going to be 40. You are 50, you're going to be 60. You are 60, you're going to be 70 in 10 years. If you are 70, we see you in heaven.
You know?
10 years from now. Brother Luis, they ask, how did you see Christianity these 21 years that you were in the U.S.? The answer is, there are 2 kinds of Christians, the ones that are here for a short time, and the ones that are here for a long time. And number 2, why people don't make it in church? Because they live when they have problems, and many times insignificant problems. Chapter 8 and verse 13 with me, please. Oh, English, huh? Chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in the time of temptation fall away. In the time of temptation fall away. Like I said in the first point, when you throw the seed, you know, to the hole, some would make it deep inside, but some would stay outside the hole and they grow, but they're going to die because they don't have the roots inside the hole. The Spanish Bible says they fall away when they have trials, tribulations, or problems. And we don't need 5 years of college to understand this point, you know. Brother Luis, they asked me, how did you see Christianity these 21 years in the U.S.? We see that many Christians leave the church for insignificant problems. In all of these 21 years in the United States, I have seen hundreds or maybe thousands coming to church, and the same way they come, they go out. You know, I have seen thousands of people, you know, coming to the church, but the same way, you know, the same numbers, they go away from the Lord too. Because they don't have any Bible deep in their heart, any problem, take them out of the church. And the first thing they do is stop coming to church. The first thing they do is stop looking for God. People go away from God and they leave the church blaming everybody. People go away from God and they leave the church because they got the flu. And they ask God, God, where were you? Don't you see that I got the flu? Now, because I got the flu, I'm not going to church anymore. Insignificant problems. That's why they leave the church. People leave the church because they have financial problems. People leave the church because they don't have work. People leave the church because they don't have a car. People leave the church because the pastor didn't say hi to me. People leave the church because the sister in the choir was making ugly faces to me. People leave the church because the parking guy didn't give me the spot that I wanted to. People, they leave the church because they start leaving. Listening to other immature, problematic people in the church. People leave the church because they start listening to relatives that they are only pointing problems in the church. People leave the church because they have friends they don't supposed to have. And they leave the church blaming the pastor, blaming the church, blaming the brother, blaming the sister, blaming the ministry, blaming the pastor wife, blaming the pastor, blaming the bus captain. But these are only excuses that people give. When the truth is that they live because that Bible is not deep in their heart. You know, at some point, we all have some kind of problems. We all make mistakes. But someone that is not perfect but is doing his best in Christian life, he always get up and keep going. So why don't make it into Christian life? Number three. Because they start chasing money, material things, and pleasure. Chapter 8 and verse 14 with me, please. I'm about to finish right now. I know that you guys finish at 8. But I'm Spanish, you know, we used to, you know, 7 to 9. So now I'm going to finish right now. Number 3, because they start chasing money, material things, and pleasure. Chapter 8 and verse 14, English. And 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. One of the problems we have today in Christianity is that many young people, 16, 7 years old, are waiting to be 18 so they can go and make money. So they can go to a secular college and become a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, a businessman, an actor, a sheriff, a border patrol agent, an architect, a teacher, a computer, an engineer, but they never ask God what's best for them.
Amen.
You know, but this shouldn't be a surprise. This is not a surprise because the father and the mother are pushing them to become someone, you know, on this world instead of doing something for God. Oh, I'm going to give you the best university that there is in the United States. But the best thing is with God and not in the university. Many times the kids, the children, they do want to serve the Lord. They do want to do something for God. But the parents are the ones pushing them to go to a worldly, secular, atheist university. And that's where they are. They are listening to the guy over there that they think that they come from a monkey. I don't come from a monkey. I look like a monkey maybe, but I don't come from a monkey. That's stupid. I'm sorry. That's not good. You know, that's out of sense. You know, how you think you're going to come from a monkey? That's not good. But that's where you want to send your kids. Oh, because he needs to make money. Oh, because when I was in Mexico, I didn't have anything. And you need to buy a house. You're going to buy me a house, right? This is how we are right now. The parents are pushing the kids to become doctors, but they don't want them to be preachers. They don't want them to be something for the Lord. Why? Because they are about money. Everything is about money. We are accusing over there the people that work so hard, but we are in the same boat. Money, money, money. That's how we are right now. The kids, they want to do something for God. Oh, I was poor back in Mexico, so you have to be rich, you know, and buy me something. Or when I was little, I didn't have money, so, but you need to have a lot of money. Christians today, they miss church because they are making overtime. They work 16 hours a day, and if they can, they work 24 hours. Christians today don't have the desire to please God or come to the church, you know, like right now. You know, everybody got used to the online services. They already opened the church and they're not here. Oh, Pastor, the corona. No, it's not the corona because you already got used to being watching through the TV.
Amen. Come on.
They don't want to come to church anymore. Christians today, they don't have the desire to please God. They want a three-bedroom house, so they have to work no matter what. I'm going to work 7 days, but I'm going to get that house. They even work on Sundays. They want a second house or a third house. So now the father is sending the mother to work so they can pay the third house. And the children are being raised by the grandmother or in daycare. No, amen?
Come on, amen.
That's how we are right now. Like I said, probably not in the English church, but in the Spanish churches, that's happening a lot. You know, money, material things, that's where our heart is. Great men in the Bibles were millionaires, but they first looked for God and God gave them money. But we are different now. We look first for the money, for the material things, and at last, if we have time, we look for God. That's not right.
Come on.
You know, when you have the Bible deep in your heart, the money, the houses, the university, you know, everything is going to change you. You know, I have so many friends that came from Guatemala, Mexico and another country, and they were humble. They were humble people. Nice people. Humble people. Wow. Such a good friends to me. Amen. But little by little, they change. They used to go to church, but now they don't go to church because they work too much. They used to be good friends, but now they never answer the phone because they're too busy. They used to be good families. Now they have money, and who cares about others? They used to walk 25 minutes to church in their country. Now, if Uber doesn't come and pick me up, I don't go.
Come on. Reach.
They used to be Luis. Now they are Louis.
Come on.
Yeah. They used to be Hernandez. Now, Hernandez, please. They used to be Pedro. Now, call me Peter. Yeah. They used to be Roberto. Now, Robert. They used to be Timoteo. Now call me Timmy. They used to be Juana. Now Joanna. They used to be Jorge, but now you are George Arevalo. I'm not explaining. They used to be Pancho, but now you are Mr. P. They used to be great Christians, but now they're living the la vida loca. You know?
Come on.
So you see how money and material things are changing Christianity today.
Right.
They take people away from church and from God.
Yep.
And that last thing, and I'm not going to get into this, is that the opposite sex can take you out of church too. Yep. When you want a boyfriend, a girlfriend, but you do it the wrong way. And I finish with this, chapter 8, verse 15, please, with me. The Bible says, but that on the good ground are they which in the honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 15 says that this is the kind of Christian, these are the ones that are not perfect, but because they do their best, they listen to the Bible and leader, they're going to grow, they're going to give fruit. Look verse 16 and 17 with me, please. It says, no man, when he had light a candle, covered it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but set it on a candlestick that they which enter it may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hide or hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Well, what basically is saying right there is that, you know, Christianity is measured by time, but the time you are in church, you know. The time reveals your Christianity and how mature you are. It's just like planting a coffee tree. It's not going to give you fruit in 3 months. It's going to give you fruit in years, in 3 years or more. You know, life, you know, the time reveals who you are, because it's going to change your life. It's going to change your marriage. It's going to change your children. Your children are going to live for God. You know, you used to be this and that, but now by the grace of God, you are a different man. See, we all make mistakes, but the problem is not making a mistake. The problem is that we don't want to fix the mistakes. And the problem is that we don't want to get right with God. We don't want to get back to God. Now, do you think that all of these guys back in 2005 here in the auditorium in a chapel service after being such a good Christian, great bus captain, or any family in any church, do you think that they knew that in 2020 they were going to be out of church? I don't think so. They were on fire for God. But, you know, they never took the Bible deep inside their heart, you know. So we ask sometimes, can they go back to church and still do great things for God? Of course they can. You know, they can. But it's not up to God. It's up to them to keep going. So probably you are here and probably you are coming to church, you know, and you are not on fire anymore to God. It's up to you to look for God. The Bible says if you get close to God, he's going to get close to you. It's up to you. It's not up to him. You know, are you here tonight, you know, and you are one of those that doesn't pay attention to the Bible? Are you here tonight, you know, and you are thinking of leaving the church because of an insignificant problem? Are you one of those chasing money, houses, cars, university, girlfriends, or boyfriends? Brother Luis, they asked me, how did you see Christianity these 21 years in the U.S.? The answer is that there are thousands calling themselves Christian, but there are only a few that they really have the desire to live for God. The question for you is, where are you going to be 10 years from now? I don't know who's going to close, but I finished already.